Getting into the second part of our little type series thing called The Principle of the Path. And we talked last week from Proverbs chapter 7. And we're going to do, today what we're going to do is we're going to do a bit of a review of what we talked about last week. And then we want to answer two questions today. We want to answer two questions. The first question that we want to answer is, how do I get off bad path, destructive paths? And the second question we want to answer is, how do I get on those paths that bring life to us? And so we're gonna trudge through this together. And I think God has given us some fantastic things in His Word to look at. So before we get going, why don't we just ask God to speak to us? Because really, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear Him and not me. And so let's ask Him. Lord Jesus, we just come to You today. And God, we are so grateful for Your Word. God, I thank You that You chose to speak to us through Your Word. And God, I pray this morning, just as we gather here together, we gather to encounter You, Father. Lord, as we worship You, God, we encounter You, God. Lord Jesus, as we hear Your Word, we can encounter You. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, as we engage Your Word today, that, Father, we would encounter You in a really powerful way. And Lord, not in just a hearing, feel-good way, but in a way that changes us. And so, God, I pray that as You speak to us, Lord Jesus, that we'll hear Your Word, what You have to say to us, and You'll touch our hearts, challenge us, God, and that You'll give us feet to move out those things that You call us to. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we began a little two-week series on what we called the principle of the path. The idea was very simple, that our direction, not intention, determines our destination. Our direction, not our hopes and dreams, determines our destination. And I gave a little example. If I pack my car and I'm going to head off to Whistler, and we're going to have a great time, and I book my hotel online at hotels.com, and I pray, and I pack the car and put the skis on top, and then I head off down the road, and I get to highway number one, and I go east. I will never get to Whistler. It doesn't matter my intentions, because my direction will trump my intention every time. And what we understand geographically, what we understand in geography, this idea that if I walk this way or that way, I will end up here at this particular destination. That makes sense to us. We get it. Where this principle falls apart is when we translate it into our lives. Our marriage path, our dating path, our parenting path, our financial path, our spiritual path. And this principle that God set up, the one that governs us geographically, also governs us in our life paths. Our direction, your direction, will trump your intention. We may have good intentions, but what is the direction you're going? You may want to use your money to make a big difference in this world. But then we see that new TV, that new car, the new phone. Uh-oh, not the new phone. That's my weakness. The new phone, not the new phone. That's personal. But we end up with all this credit card debt. And Proverbs says that the borrower is slave to the lender. And we begin to become slaves to Visa and MasterCard. And we say, yeah, but I wanted to give. I wanted to help free people who've been trafficked. I wanted to help feed and clothe kids that don't even have the basics. Hey, that's a great, great intention. Godly intention. But the path you choose has a destination. And that direction trumps your good intention. In our parenting life, you might have some really great intentions. The problem is that your direction determines your destination. In your dating life, we talked a bit about this last week. You want a good Christian guy to marry. And so you date anyone who asks. Well, that's a great intention, but a very bad direction. And direction trumps intention. Listen, if you make a wrong turn in a car, it may cost you a bit of time. If I make a wrong turn and go east on highway number one when I'm wanting to go to Whistler, it may cost me a bit of time to make the turnaround. But when you start making bad turns in your life, it can take years to correct. It can take whole seasons of your life. And you may learn some things along the way, But I think that God might say, you know, if we would have done this right the first time, we could be so much further down the road. You didn't have to experience all that pain. And God, I know he is so gracious, and he's so merciful to us. And he doesn't write us off. I love that about God. He doesn't write us off when we make wrong turns. And as a result, we have to walk through some crazy situations and sometimes some very painful ones. And God can even take and redeem those things, these outcomes of these paths that we've taken. But I also don't think that that's his intention for us. Like a parent watching his son or daughter make some very bad choices. Well, they might learn some things. They might learn some things along the way. But if only they had heeded the advice of those that loved them, they could have skipped a world of hurt. And so this week, our homework was to sit on the balcony of our lives and to look at the direction of our life and ask ourselves, what direction are the paths of my life going? Just as Solomon watched the young man in Proverbs chapter 7, as we looked at last week, we were to ask, not what are my intentions, because a lot of our intentions are really good, but what is my direction? God, what would you want to say about the direction of my life and the paths of my life? God, what do you say about the direction I'm going with my boyfriend? What do you say about the direction of my marriage? What do you say, God, about the direction of my finances? What do you say about the direction of my parenting? God, are there areas in my life where I need to make some changes? Am I heading in ways that are going to end in disaster? And if this week, as you looked at your life, and God revealed some things to you, and you discovered some areas, some maybe big red flags, I want to share this morning a verse with you. It's found in chapter of Proverbs, in chapter 22, in verse 3. It's a great verse, and I think all of us should memorize this verse. This is a fantastic verse. And I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to get you to say it, a little audience participation. You could do it with me here. But the prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Let's say it together here. We can do this. I know that we can. I know it's first service. I know you're tired, but I believe in you. Ready? It's a little simple one. The prudent see danger and take refuge. Uh-oh. Are you on a wrong one than I am? All right, we'll do this one. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So, when you hear my translation, you'll know what I'm talking about. Or the wise, they see danger and they take refuge. The simple or the naive keep going, and as this translation says, they suffer for it. Or the one that I was using, they pay the penalty. The wise, they see danger and they do something. The simple see the same thing and do nothing and pay for it. And haven't we seen that time and time again? And people tell us their story. They wonder how God could allow this to happen. They're angry at God. And we feel bad because it's not like we haven't been there. But we might say, did you get any warnings? Did anybody say anything at all? Could you see it coming? And 9 times out of 10, people will say, yeah, but what? What did you do? When you saw this warning, a danger that was coming, what did you do? Nothing. In this verse, there are two types of people. There's the prudent person, and there's the simple person. Both are on a path. Both see danger. But they have very different responses to danger. One takes refuge, the other does nothing. The prudent does something, but the simple does nothing. The simple sees danger, but meh. I know I should, but someone comes up to you and says, you know, man, I think you're having a few too many drinks lately. Yeah, you're probably right, but what does the simple do? Nothing. You're getting pretty close with that woman, you know. Does your wife know about her? Look, I know I shouldn't, but she makes me feel so good about myself. I guess I should back away, but I know I shouldn't buy this, We don't have the money for it. Such a good deal. The chains of consumer debt shackle our wrists. I need to get a hold of this, but the simple do nothing. The prudent, the scripture says, does something. They seek refuge. Now, I know we all hate to be characterized as simple, but the Bible says that if you're headed down a path and you see that it's headed in the wrong direction, that the direction is leading to destruction, and you do nothing, you're simple. And I'm going to be the first to admit here this morning, ashamedly admit it, that I have been simple. And then here's how it goes sometimes for church-going folk. You're going to church and you're listening to the speaker, and you're feeling really convicted. You know the speaker who's sharing with you, he's right, he's so right. And it feels like God is talking to you. And then it feels that way because God is talking to you. And here's what we do. We say, yeah, I know, I really should stop that. I need to break up with that person. Or you know, he is right, I am a slave to this. And we feel sometimes good because God's talking to us. We feel close to God because he's speaking into our very lives. Yeah, this is good. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for caring enough to speak into my life about this. I really sense you. Wow, this is amazing. Man, I love being here. I just feel so close to God. And then we go out of here and do nothing. Nothing changes. The simple do nothing. And do you know how much good that does us? It doesn't do us any good. None. Zero. Maybe even less than that. Maybe negative. Man, church was so good. Man, I felt God speak to me about some things in my life. Wow, that's great. What are you going to do? Keep going. What? You're going to do nothing? What? That's what the simple do. God shows you something about your life. He jumps up and down. He says, hey, take refuge. Take refuge. What? Oh, yeah, we feel convicted. I've been there, too. We feel convicted, and we admit and we acknowledge. But then we just keep going. And what happens when we keep going? The Bible says that we pay for it, or we suffer for it. And eventually, if you walk down paths long enough, there are what seems to be points of no return. I mean, there are, you can always return, but sometimes you get on a path and you say, wow, this looks very dangerous. And you see it very quickly. I need to get off now. And so you back up, you do your U-turn, and you get off and you take refuge. But if you keep trucking down that path, there will come a point where you have no good options left. You've got three options, and all of them are bad. Ladies, when you get pregnant, that's not the time to start asking the question, do I really love this guy? When you're addicted, it's not the time to start saying, you know, I really need to start exercising some discipline. We're addicted. It's too late. And now I don't really have any good options left. I mean, if I confess, that doesn't sound like a good option. My boss, my friends, my wife, what will they say? Will I lose everything? And on the same hand, I can't keep it a secret because secrets just cause the problem to grow. And now none of our options seem good at this point. And there was a time when the options were better. There was a time when people said, hey, I think you're drinking too much. You should slow down. I think you're spending too much time on the internet. I think you're spending too much time with her. And we said, yeah, you're probably right, but we didn't do anything. We just kept walking. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. We look back and we wish we had made some different decisions when the options were better. We've trucked down that path. We saw the danger and did nothing, and now we're suffering for it, and we're paying for it, and it's our fault. It's not God's fault. But listen, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Matter of fact, he couldn't love you anymore. But there is a great frustration on our part trying to break God's principles. Because you don't break those principles, you only break yourself against them. And the principle of the path says that direction determines destination. And you might say, well, that's great. Then what do I do? I don't want to keep going and do nothing. I don't want to be the simple. I don't want to end up suffering for it. I know, God, that you're speaking to me, but my tendency in the past, if I'm honest, is to acknowledge and keep going. But I don't want to be simple anymore. What do I do? Well, that's easy. What you do is you take refuge. Well, great, but what is that? Well, for all of us, it might be a little bit different. For some of you, it's going to need some prayer counseling. There are some deep things that are wrong. Maybe you were hurt a long time ago because other people's paths, and because of that, you just keep choosing the wrong path. You don't want to. Your intentions are good. But there are things that only God can heal, and you've been walking down that path for so long, and it's been damaging your life and your relationships for so long, and you know it. And listen, I'm telling you this morning, take some refuge. Don't be simple anymore. God's telling you, speaking to your life, take refuge. Some of you are going to have to get some financial counseling, maybe. Maybe downsize. I know that's so un-North American. But you may need to start looking in the Bible and get a great God perspective on why God's given us our money. Some of you are going to have to make some tough choices. Maybe break up with that boyfriend or girlfriend. That you know that relationship has been heading down a destructive path. And some of you might need to get some accountability in your life. But listen, you are where your path led. I know it wasn't our intention. I know it wasn't where we hoped and dreamed. But your direction takes you to a destination. And this morning, if you are really serious about this principle, if you're serious about taking refuge, if you're serious about getting off that particular path, the path that you see danger on, that path that's leading to destruction, then there are some words that you need to write down. The first one is this: it's action. You have to do something. You have to end that relationship. You have to make that phone call. You have to move or sell something, downsize. You have to have that hard conversation. The prudent see danger, and they don't think about it. They don't just contemplate it. They do something. They seek refuge. You will have to do something, not just feel bad about it. The second is sacrifice. I know that that's a very ugly word. And the truth is, we're not good at that. That's why debt in our nation is so high. And the really trick to not having debt is to living on less than we make. And thus our debt is so high because we don't like to sacrifice. I don't like to sacrifice. If I did, I wouldn't need to lose so much weight. The doctor wouldn't say to me, you know, your real problem, really? It's all around your midsection there. It's because I don't like to sacrifice, as you could tell. You might have to sacrifice a romance, friendship, reputation, a lifestyle. But when you decide that when you see danger, you are going to act, it'll almost always require a sacrifice, and that's why we don't do it. We leave here today, and what, we're going to go home and say, you know, I heard this sermon today, and I've got to have that really tough conversation. Dear, I've got to sit down and tell you I'm addicted to this. Or I've got to break up with them. I mean, this is complicated. This just costs too much. I think I'm just going to keep going. The third word is embarrassment. People aren't always going to understand. People will judge you on what they see now. And you might be saying, yeah, I get what you're saying, but you know what? Look what's coming. If I keep going here, this danger, it's sitting there, and God's yelling at me and waving his hands and saying, take refuge. This is a path that's leading to destruction. Take refuge. And it may take, and you may be a bit embarrassed, but and people, they're not going to get it. I mean, you may join a program, and people will say, whoa, he's got that issue? I didn't know he had an issue with alcohol. I didn't know he had an issue with pornography. I didn't know she had issues with eating. And it might be, maybe it will be a bit embarrassing. But listen, there's a fourth word. And the fourth word is this. The fourth word is relief. And there will come a day, if you're serious about getting off the path that leads to destruction, when you will look back on today and thank God you did not take another step on that path, on that path that was headed to destruction. A year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you will look back and you will breathe a sigh of relief. You might ask the question, what if I hadn't acted? What if I hadn't ended that relationship? What if I hadn't made that financial choice or sought out that help? There's action, there's sacrifice, maybe some embarrassment. There's going to be a sigh of relief. It might be much easier, and I'm going to venture to say it is much easier right now, just to keep going, down that path, to say, I know, but But remember, that path has a destination. The prudent see danger and seek refuge, while the simple keep going and suffer for it. So you decided to back down some paths. You saw the danger, you sought refuge, and you're breathing that sigh of relief, but now what? Well, what about those paths that lie ahead of you? How do I choose the paths that bring life and not destruction? I can't sit in limbo my whole life. And you're right, as a matter of fact, that is not God's plan for you, that you would live in fear of choosing a wrong path. He has great plans for you. He wants you to walk down paths. He just wants you to walk down the good ones, the ones that he has for you. The problem is, how do we know which path? Well, we can't see the future. I mean, the path that I choose in my 20s has ramifications for my 30s. So how do we know, how can we tell what is the right path? Is this the right path? Is that the right path? The truth is, we can't see all the way down each path, and we don't know the future. But direction still determines destination. Now, if we took God and the Bible off the table for a second, I know that sounds horrible when you're preaching a sermon to take God and the Bible off the table for a second, but just come with me for a minute. It would seem that if we could just get enough data, we could figure it out. I mean, let's say that over the last 150 years, everybody decided that they were going to write down all the choices they made and all the results that followed. And then somebody took all that data and they put it into a computer. And now all we have to do is go to the computer and put in our choice, and then we would just type in what we were thinking of doing, and it would spit out the most likely result of that choice or that direction. Then we could make some really informed choices, right? I mean, and then we would know exactly which way to go. It would be great. The odds of life would finally be in our favor. We could have a high probability of all our choices. I mean, that's wonderful. The problem is that even though that sounds like a good idea, it wouldn't work. How do I know? The 21% of all deaths in Canada in 2011 were due to heart disease. 21%. And guess what? We know how to prevent it. And in some cases, reverse it. But what do we do with that information? Change our diet? Get more exercise? Nope. We just keep going. How about smoking? I mean, you think that would be completely gone by now? Nope. People are still starting. Here, this will cause cancer, shorten your life, cost you thousands of dollars, you get addicted. Want one? Sure. For us, our issue is not lack of knowledge. I mean, it does happen sometimes. We wish somebody had told us. But for most of the time, we crash and burn on paths we choose all by ourselves. I want to look quickly at one more passage from Proverbs. Again, Proverbs is written by the wisest man who ever lived. And he didn't get his smarts from reading a lot of books. He didn't get his smarts from sitting at the feet of really smart people. No, when he was between the ages of 17 and 20 years old, he became king. And in a dream, God came to him and said, you know, I love your dad, I love you, I want to give you something. Just ask me for anything at all, and I'm going to give it to you. That's a great deal. God comes to you and says, I'll just give you anything you want. What do you want? And Solomon thinks about it, and he says, I'd like wisdom to rule your people, God. And so God grants him that. And Solomon has been given the wisdom from God. And as a result, people from far and wide came to seek out his wisdom. And why is this relevant? Because if ever there was a person that could say, God, thank you for the information. Thank you, Lord, for all your knowledge you gave me. Now you can go on your way and do what you do, God. I'm good now with all this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that you've given me. If anyone could have done that, well, it should have been him, right? It should have been Solomon. But when Solomon addresses this question, the one that has all the wisdom given by God to him, when he is addressed with this question, how do we know what path to take? How do we know where to go? How do we know how to make decisions so that later on we end up where we're supposed to be and not end up in a train wreck? How do we make those choices for our family, our jobs, our finances, our dating? And he did not say, well, I'll tell you how I do it. I just do this and I do that and I just draw from all the vast wisdom I got. I have all this God-given wisdom. And if you want to choose right paths, you just need more information. Maybe read my books. He didn't say that. He says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 we're going to look at, well, the first part is this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in him with everything, with your job, with your parenting, with your spouse, with your dating, in every area, trust, lean hard on God. And if anyone at all in the history of man, if anyone could have had the hope in bypassing this, it would have been Solomon. But no, his advice, the wisest guy that ever lived, the guy who got wisdom from God, his advice is this, trust in God with all you have. He goes on to say, lean not on your own understanding. We sung that this morning. Lean not on your own understanding. Listen, our tendency is to do life in the way that we see the world. And he says, no. Lean not on your own understanding. The idea here is don't prop yourself up with your read of the situation, with your understanding of what's going on. All that leaning that you would do and you would put on all what you have seen and where you have been and all that kind of thing. He says, go the other way and lean on God. Trust in him, the person of God. Solomon is saying here, don't make the mistake of saying, with all my years under me, with all my knowledge that I have gained over the years, with all of this, don't make those path choices, leaning on your wisdom and knowledge. Even with all my wisdom, I believe he would say, I can't do that. As you look in 1 Kings 10, we don't have it up here, but we see Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. He comes to his downfall. What happens is that he decides that he's marrying all of these ladies from other countries. And it was custom in that day, was the tradition, was the smart thing to do, was the wise thing to do, was to marry people from other countries. Because when you married the daughter of another country's king, all of a sudden you would have this, really, well, we can't go to war with them, they're family. And so they would start, you know, marrying in all these different countries. And God said, listen, don't marry people from other countries because they're going to lead you astray. Those women, they're going to lead, they get you every time. They're going to lead you astray. I'm just kidding. Well, maybe not. Okay. They're going to lead you astray. They're going to lead you astray. This is man's wisdom. How am I going to keep the peace? Well, I've got to marry all these women, all these different, from all these different countries. And so he goes, and guess what happens? He starts following the gods of these other countries. And he starts to walk away. And Solomon himself decides not he decides to lean on his own understanding. And what happens? It's to his downfall. Every choice, we lean on Christ and not us. As a business owner, as a parent, we're so used to leaning on our understanding. And if you want to choose the right path, Solomon says, don't lean there. Here's the thing, though, first. If you're looking for direction, for which path to take in life, it doesn't start with a search for direction. Direction starts with submission. Submission precedes direction. You begin your search for direction by trusting in God with all of your heart. Even before we get to those forks in the road. God, I may not understand it all, but I'm trusting you with it all. Verse 6, he goes on and he says, in all your ways, submit to him. In your marriage ways, in your business ways, in your dating ways, in your financial ways, in all your ways. Some of your ways? No, all of your ways. Everything. God, I don't fully get it, but I submit to you. Not just in your Sunday ways, not just in your religious ways, in all. Not in some of your paths. God, we invite you into every area of our life. You are the Lord over our marriage, over our money, over our family, over my future, over my education. You are the Lord over my weekends, my Saturday nights, and my Sunday mornings. In all my ways, I'm going to submit to you. And guess what happens next? And he will make your paths straight. Or you could add a word that said that then he will make your path straight. Or as a result, he will make your paths straight. It literally means that he will make the way clear. Or in our terminology, you will know which path to take. If you're seeking direction this morning for something, you need to back up a few steps. Because submission precedes direction. And if you're ready to submit to God in everything, whatever you say, God, wherever you lead, you will not choose a bad path. And your direction will still lead to a destination. And the journey may be tough at sometimes. Don't get me wrong in saying that as soon as I submit everything to God, it's all moving sidewalks and Starbucks lattes. It's not. The journey, it may be tough at sometimes. But the destination is life and life to the full. We're going to invite the worship team to come, and they're going to lead us in a song. Are you guys all here? Yeah. Great. And then we're going to close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just come to you today. And Father, if there are those that are here today that you've been jumping up and down and you've been waving some red flags at them and saying, you're going down a wrong path. You're heading down a path of destruction. And God, there are some things that are going to have to be done. Lord, I just pray for those that are here right now. I know you've been speaking to things about my own life, God. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we would not be the simple. That we would not be the people that see danger, but say, eh. But Lord, when you intervene and you speak to us, and you say, hey, there's danger ahead, that we would respond to what you have to say, God. We'd be the prudent and take refuge. God, that even if it costs us some embarrassment, it costs us some sacrifice, God, we don't want to run down that road of destruction, Lord Jesus. Because God, you've got so much better for us. You've got some great things for us. You have things to prosper us, Lord. Not to harm us. Give us a hope in the future. And it's God, it's those paths that we want to run blazing down. Those paths, those directions that you have for us, God. Those things, those places that bring life, Lord Jesus. And so, God, I pray that as we stand, even now as we stand here, Lord Jesus, that you would give us a heart of surrender. God, that our hearts would be completely, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not sure what you're going to do. But, God, I trust you. I trust you in my marriage. I trust you with my kids. I trust you in my job. I trust you with the relationship. I trust you with my finances, God. I trust you in every area. And Lord, I invite you to be Lord in every area, Lord Jesus. And God, as I trust you, I believe, I know your word says, you will make my path straight. You will make it clear. You will show me which ones to go down. I just have to keep walking in surrender. And as I do, these paths are just going to be really clear to me. And so, God, I thank you that direction begins with submission. And so, Lord, this morning, even as we're standing here, I pray that you would just go into our hearts. And God, create submissive hearts in us. Hammer away all that sort of self-reliant stuff, Lord Jesus. It would be wholly relying on you. God, you got so much good stuff for us. So much good stuff for us. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just look forward to the things that you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here. And we're going to dismiss some coffee on the patio. So join us for that.